This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. It's time for a Tech Talk, and what a lovely way to start the first Thursday of the month with Karamjit Singh, Digital News Asia, as we do a roundup of the tech ecosystem.
Yeah, slow and steady, yeah.
All right.
The pace today. After the hecticness, F1 race at Bloomberg TV.
Welcome, Karam.
Yes.
Okay, so the UEM Group jolts Malaysia's lackluster IT market with an RFP tender worth 100 million at least. So what brought this about for them?
Well, I guess for a lot of the big companies, what they really want to do is to have proper visibility of their operations. And make no mistake, UEM Group is big. They've got diversified business, right, ranging from expressways. Of course, they run the North South Highway and other highways. They've got property. UEM Sunrise is listed. You've got construction. You've got asset and facility management. It operates across 20 major companies. Yeah, three of which are listed on local and international bourses. Headcount of more than 15,000 people across 10 countries. So just imagine how diversified it is.
Right.
And I think management just says that, hey, and with things moving so fast now, what can we do to get a better grip or a better view of what's going on across the whole group, right? And nowadays, of course, IT is already known. You don't have to convince anyone about that, you know. So what they're doing is they're moving IT from just being a supporting function to being a strategic enabler. So there was a change of CIO, so like maybe, 7-8 months ago to drive this forward. And so that's what they're looking at now. So the IT market this year, while Gartner, I think in the story we said, predicted there would be 6.5% growth for the year. What we know is that we've been speaking to industry out there, all the tier one vendors, you know, whether your Oracle, Microsoft, Cisco, and I'm going to talk about Cisco afterwards, you know, IBM, many of them have missed their Q1 and Q2 numbers. That's because it's been like last year. Now you want to say why? It's probably because GST and the certainties around that. And most of the tenders so far have been from 5 million ringgit to 20 million ringgit, according to one of the vendors. And lo and behold, you got this big monster out there, right? And so while not everybody can go and take the documents to apply, because I think the board, and they've done some homework, they've already pre-qualified some companies, all large companies, not just the MNCs, but large local SIs also. And when you talk about large local SIs, you've got the likes of your listed companies, Hitech Padu and Mesiniaga, right? So I'm sure they're going to put in a bid also for this. So it's a big thing. Now, the scope says that they want to make sure that, like I said, the group has, you know, clear visibility across. And it's going to look at a whole bunch of things. And some of them include, like, they want the base to be an ERP base, okay? They want applications to be much more collaborative and you know, for the groups to see it. They want teams, managers and all to be able to see information, you know, on the go even, not just, you know, being in the office. Whole bunch of stuff. And they want closer collaboration with the group too. And I think they just feel that this is going to just give the group an edge. This is going to be a three-year transformation plan, yeah? They hope to close the tender the tender actually closes in mid-August, and then they're going to make a decision by the end of the year. Hopefully, by the first quarter of next year, the company that has got the contract is going to execute it. Some people say they don't think it's going to be one company doing it, because you need strong cash flow, right? And so likely you're going to lean towards one big company, maybe being the main project manager, and then you've got them using other companies. Because it's so wide scope, no one company has got the whole suite of hardware, software, you know, services, right? And consulting too. So probably one main con, and it's going to be driven out. But very interesting. It's got the market excited. You know, it's over 100 million ringgit.
Yeah.
And hopefully, and this is by private sector. Of course, when I say private sector, and then somebody pointed out to me, hey, this is a fully owned subsidiary of Khazanah. I say yes, but it's running like a private company. It's not like a government, you know, agency or a government, you know, a company like Jaring. So this is just fully independent, and so it operates as a private company. So it's going to be interesting. And I think this triggers a lot of other large companies which may be laggards to say, hey, man, this is serious stuff they're doing out there, you know.
So I also want.
Yeah, I also want. You call your CIO, CTO and say, hey, you know, let's talk to us. You know, why are they doing this? How it's going to benefit them? And if there overlaps, they're going to be competing with us. How are we being left behind if we don't get on board? So this is really a good decision by them, and it's going to help all CIOs out there who've been trying to push a transformation agenda, or just that, get that get the companies to be more, you know, IT enabled.
Mm.
So very good move for UEM and for Malaysia as a whole, I think.
Right.
And vendors will benefit too.
Of course. The week in review, MyEG stops playing the VC.
Yeah. So this is quite interesting. So this is a story from last week. But, you know, week in review, we write on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this is interesting because they have previously been playing the role of a corporate VC. But they've been acting like a private VC in the sense that, so corporate VCs, normally when they come in, they want to take majority control because the rationale is that, look, we've got all these assets. Like I just told you about UM Group.
Yeah.
If they were a corporate VC, they say, hey, 15,000 employees, 10 countries, you know, 20 companies, we bring a lot to the table if we take a stake in you. So we want a management say, you're the entrepreneur, you still drive it, but we're going to give you strategic direction input also. And then because then you can use your product, you know, across all our companies. So hence the majority stake. MyEG hasn't been doing that the last few years through their Make the Pitch, right,
yeah,
their reality
yeah.
program. They've taken minority stakes defined as below 50%, and they've let the entrepreneur run the show.
Mm.
I think now what TS wants to do, and they're actually supposed to partner with Cradle Seed Ventures too, 20 million ringgit, but that didn't happen because he said they had a change of heart. They said they want to go in now, they want to have a more meaningful say in the companies they take in, and they want to take a majority stake.
Mm.
Now, I asked Patrick Grove, of course, from Ketcha, what kind of entrepreneur would give up majority stake? And he says it's an entrepreneur who has no other choice. So that may sound like a negative, but maybe sometimes an entrepreneur feels that this, in the end, is the best hope for him or her, right, going forward. So MyEG is going to do this. I thought that's very interesting. So they also now stop. They're going to stop pretending to play a VC role. You're a corporate entity.
Mm.
Now they're going to fit into the comfortable, you know, a skin of a corporate VC and act and behave like that. And I think a year down the road, you can probably, we want to chat with T.S. Wong, you know, the MD and the co-founder of MyEG, to find out, you know, how, what has been the difference with the companies they've invested in now with this majority stake.
Okay.
And let's see the kind of companies they get to, whether they get good quality companies. And of course, they're going to carry on with the Make the Pitch program.
Mm.
So they're going to get, you know, their one or two companies from there. Let's see they invest outside beyond that even.
All right.
Very interesting development.
Okay, this one is on talent. How
yeah.
every company wants the best talent, but a survey finds that they're unwilling to change to get the best talent. I'm surprised. Not
yet. So I think this was interesting because it was from the findings from a Cisco Connected World Technology report. And if you read the article on the site, you can click and download the report too. So of course, when you talk about talent, then they had a panel session, and of course, you know, Mr. Talent himself, you know, Johan
American
was there from Talent Corp. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you know, really, one of the key takeaways was that companies all like to say that their people are their most valuable asset, but they need to start treating them as they would your customers, because you do treat your customers as your most valuable asset, right?
Mm.
And he says they need to start treating their employees as such, and also they need to manage outcomes based on deliverables, right, rather than employees' face time. Very interesting. Huh? Cisco is a company, of course, that enables you to work remotely, right, through their, they've got their, you know, teleport, you know,
right.
which is they're actually based in the office, but they've got other products that allow you to work remotely.
Mm.
So this is kind of interesting. So what are you laughing about?
I'm reading the rather lose your sense of smell.
Correct. So they did the survey and really was focusing on Gen Y. It's a global survey, but really, let's just say they only spoke to 250 people from Malaysia, okay?
Mm.
So it's a small sample size. And apparently 43% of our Gen Y, and of course, they didn't do millennials. There's a difference,
okay,
right? So Gen Y are a bit older than millennials and said they'd rather lose their sense of smell, right, than lose their internet access.
Because there's another point later on, but I'm just thinking, how do you fill up that form?
Uh-huh.
Is it lose my hand, lose my smell, lose my sight, or lose, you know, so... So
you pick one of the above, yeah.
Yeah, so okay. Because it goes on with another, they would give up sex for a month rather than their smartphones.
Yeah, so that this now really, the cynic in me says that, look, you know, the guys and the girls who said this are probably still virgins, right? You just make that logical deduction. Because otherwise, nobody would say that, right? If you've experienced it. So anyway, so interesting. One of the other points they say is that flexi is the new sexy. So we're not talking about sex, but sexy, right?
It's
so
flexi,
more than half of Gen X, interesting, they add Gen X, which is really those born between the early 60s and the early 80s. And that's you and me, right?
Yeah.
We're safely in the Gen X generation now. And Gen Y Malaysians, these two generations said they would take a pay cut for greater workplace flexibility. And apparently, the ratio is much higher than the global average. The global average is 26 to 9. Yes?
It's very true. I can vouch for that for sure. There was a pay cut coming here.
Yes. I know. Right? Bosses are reading this and saying, yes, man. I'm going to meet my numbers, man. Thank you, Cisco. Oh, thank you, DNA. I heard you now.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of interesting. You can read the survey and you can get a sense of it. But that's a disconnect. And I think increasingly people do want to have that. Like, you know, we just hired somebody out of Singapore. And he's a young guy, maybe 25 years old. And so I'm worried, right? Because we work remotely. And although you do go into an office like 2 or 3 days a week, I'm wondering if it's enough, because then his mom will say, this is not a real company, son. Go get a real job in a real company. Which company allows you to work from home, you know? I don't want to see you in your pagoda
shop,
singlet, right? That you're working from home, you know, and demanding lunch, you know, from me. No, go get out of my hair. Right?
Okay, we'll continue with
That was an interesting
other stories after this. Garbage
Singh. Yeah, and then we've got the... Yeah, okay, yes.
Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United, BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu and Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia for a roundup of some of the interesting tech stories in the region and also Malaysia. So now, this one is Malaysia and US come together for ASEAN Startup Bootcamp.
Yes.
What's this about? Who's organizing it?
Well, this is, I think it's an Obama initiative, right, to strengthen leadership development and networking in ASEAN. And MAGIC, of course, is the core partner for Malaysia because they're very involved in the startup ecosystem.
Yeah.
And this bootcamp actually is really where you're going to bring young people. It's called the Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative.
Yeah.
I won't use the acronym because it's really clumsy.
YCLE.
You saw that, huh?
I think they work with Dash as well, Dakshin Murthy.
Maybe he's involved in some. His shadow is lurking in the background, huh? Yeah. So it's apparently this is just launched 2 years ago, and it's Obama's signature program to strengthen leadership development, right, and networking in Southeast Asia. So MAGIC is involved, and what's going to happen is they're going to bring ASEANs from the age of 18 to 30. And ideally, they would want university students or young professionals because they've already started, you know, or plan to start a business or maybe already own a small, you know, business. So they're going to come together. They're going to work in teams in Cyberjaya at MAGIC. So MAGIC now also calls themselves a campus. Interesting. So because there's a place for them to stay too now at MAGIC. And because MAGIC's getting ready for the ASEAN Accelerator they're organizing. So Cheryl's there. Of course, the CEO of MAGIC is excited. She says that this program, kind of a program like this, is inculcating creative thinking and, of course, inspiring young entrepreneurs, right? Which is at the core of what they do at MAGIC. So they're going to spend a weekend there, you know, promoting entrepreneurship and cross-country, you know, collaboration. It's the stuff that Dash has done before also. And I think this year in February when there was one ASEAN Economic Summit, you know, and I think the same thing was done too. But this is, of course, an Obama initiative. And by the way, they're calling for applications now. So all you out there, if your kids are around and they just started, you know, they're in university or they just started
18
working.
18 to 30 anyway.
18 to 30, yeah. Not just your kids, like, yeah, even up to 30. No, you can have them apply. It's going to be a three-day boot camp, and it's in Cyberjaya, of course, from the 4th to the 6th of August. And the applications, though, close tomorrow, July 3rd.
Okay, so better do
so
it fast.
So you have to hustle, yeah. So, you know, I think they're going to focus on healthcare first, environmental issues, traffic management, government, and agriculture. So it's stuff that is very relevant to ASEAN, right, Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Then you, of course, you're going to have mentors and facilitators, and they don't mention who the mentors are, but I suspect. So one of their partners is this company called Global, it's Techstars. So there's this lady called Danielle Reyes, who's the director of global expansion at Techstars. I think they're going to provide some of the mentors and some of the experiences they have learned organizing similar events elsewhere.
Okay.
So I think it'll be a really good value of your time if you get in. You know, I think they're going to pick 110 shortlisted participants. So
okay, 18 to 30. So you and I can participate.
We can. We're safely there. I've already got my application. You're just waiting to send it across.
Sluggish Q1 2015 for Southeast Asia smartphone sales despite overall growth.
Yeah. So this is a survey.
I think you know why.
Okay. Why?
Because Q4 everybody bought an extra phone already. Because everybody has more than one phone. Really? Sorry, that's just my analogy.
Yeah. No, because of maybe, you know, GST is coming and you know, you just simplistically assume that phones are going to go up, right? So maybe, they did say that actually there was, because according to IDC, there's no reason for concern because there was record shipments in Q4 2014.
See?
Either you read that snippet in the article or you just, you know, made a very intelligent deduction.
Just been at this for a while, my dear.
Been at this for a while, yeah. You were with IBM before. So, yeah, I mean, they talk about in Southeast Asia, 24 million units were shipped in the first quarter of 2015. So, and this was year-on-year growth of 65%. But still, it was a sequential decline, 9.5%. So, but what's interesting is that they use the word shipments because you ship it into a country. Now, there's no guarantee it's sold. But very interesting, what has happened is IDC says that all the vendors have gotten so smart in managing their supply chain, they kind of can predict the demand. So they only ship in, you know, the phones that you know your chances are 9 out of 10, you're going to have more than 90% chance of selling. Very interesting how they measure that now. Right? See how, like, you know, supply chains and just visibility of the business is getting so much more clearer for a lot of good companies.
Right.
And that's what, in a way, UEM is going to do, right? Coming back to their transformation program. So now there's just a lot of numbers there.
Yeah.
And in Myanmar, there's something interesting there too in Thailand. And when they talk about the only mature market, Singapore, they said they recorded a decline as well, meaning together with Malaysia. And Singapore's one, however, it was said expected because seasonal. Mm. Apparently the holiday, you know, year-end holiday season is when you have the climax. So all that is going on in the region. There's just so many data points here. You just have a read and look at the IDC senior research fellow, Daniel Pang, because if you just look at him from the eyebrows out, eyebrows up, you really think that he's actually Khoo Soo Chuang from BFM.
Okay.
I looked at it, I got a surprise. That's like a younger version of Mr. Khoo.
He's quite scary. Now, what's interesting about Myanmar?
No, Myanmar, they just mentioned that there was... So Myanmar is just a new market starting out. So they said that they significantly reduced prices of SIM packs for the public. And of course, you've got network coverage improving. So that's driven, had a strong drive for smartphones. So there have been some things going on there. Now, let's move on to talk about Echelon, actually. And then we'll talk about the reading list.
Okay.
So Echelon is of course, organized by a tech blog, E27. Now, this is their anchor event. And then, you're laughing, right? Doesn't it just look like Chuang?
No,
scary.
It's the hair. It's the lack of.
The shape of the skull, the top half of the skull. So this is the Echelon event now. That they end up picking 10 finalists from 14 cities, right, across Asia who do the satellite events. And we've spoken about Echelon Satellite KL before. Mm. 10 finalists go there, and apparently the last 2 years have been startups from Thailand have won, and this year was a financial tech startup from the Philippines. But run by a Caucasian guy, and I may just get his name wrong there. But let's not just try. So its company is called Pawn Hero. And so these guys are doing Pawn, P-A-W-N.
Okay.
So it's a fintech. The entrepreneur is, David Mergendorf or whatever, right?
Yeah.
He's a co-founder.
Right.
And he just says that there's so many unbanked sins in the region. And they said with everybody just having a mobile phone, this is almost a no-brainer for a way to go. And the way they're doing it is interesting enough that the judges, which include Dave McCleary from 500 Startups.
Okay.
Decided that these guys were the winner, so they picked them. So let's see what they do, 1 year from now.
Echelon, huh?
Yeah, Echelon. And there's a number of other winners there, too. So you can go and check this out.
So Gabby covered the event?
No, this was our new guy, Benjamin Chert. Gabby was there, keeping an eye on him and showing him the ropes. And then Benjamin was the one who wrote the story then.
Reading list.
Reading list, I think I've got one only.
Really?
because there's just so many, but I thought this was interesting. And this was because it's an article, it's a monthly article by the CEO of CyberView.
Mm-hmm.
And before you ask, they're not advertiser yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is the third series in a 6-part series. And Faris Yashia now also has been going around the world promoting CyberJaya as a global tech hub.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and of course, he's seen other smart cities there. And coincidentally, I met up with him less than a month ago. And he says, Karamjit, the great thing is I've realized that I don't have to pitch the infrastructure of CyberJaya when I go and sell because we are on par with many of the cities, if not better. And that's surprising. And one of the things he mentioned with the soft infrastructure is that the lifestyle, a lot of the eateries are open after hours. And in the West, sometimes after 6 p.m., many of the eateries are just not available at all. In some of the larger, more developed cities.
Right.
Like he mentioned a city in Switzerland. He said nothing's open after 6 p.m. And I think businesses probably can't afford to pay people to work after after the normal 8 hours.
I'm not surprised,
right?
That we are on par when it comes to the hardware infrastructure.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So he really talks about that. But what I liked about the article is that say, with smart cities coming out, he said, don't be elitist enclaves, you know, that exclude the poor and the less tech-savvy.
Mm.
It's a really good, some really good points he makes that I thought was thought-provoking, and probably his travels, you know, have allowed him to see that and make him realize we don't want to do the same thing with Cyberjaya. So that's a good article to go and read, and that's the reading list.
That's it.
Today. Yes.
Wow.
That's it.
We've got time for a
four
song.
4 minutes, yeah. Two songs maybe, yes.
Karanjit Singh from Digital News Asia. He'll be back on the third Thursday of the month. And of course, you know, you can always hear what he what has to say and the rest of the gang on the on their website.
Yes.
Karanjit Singh, Digital News Asia, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Check it out.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes.